Man, it's so good seeing everybody back this week, and a lot of people gone on spring break. Still a lot of people gone today on spring break. Last week, we had a time change, and I was worried about everybody falling asleep, so I brought a water gun in here, and I squirted a few people last week, and I want to know who took the water gun this week, because you guys paid better attention. So the water gun's gone, and I'm going to have to find the water gun. But guys, what we've been preaching on, I believe the Lord is really trying to speak something into Oakton. And anyway, the last 3 weeks, if you have not heard all those sermons, I challenge you to go back and start and listen to them all. And to be honest with you, listen to them again, and not because, guys, I don't have a high opinion of myself, believe me. I say it to you because I believe the Lord's speaking something through me. And anyway, I think it's for our church. But we start out in Matthew 18 and then went to Matthew 25. And then today I'm going to be in Matthew 10 and Acts chapter 4. But again, I'm going to have to review today because I don't think that if you've missed a couple times before that you'll get the gist of what we're talking about today. Or what I'm fear would happen is that what we dealt with last week about an old idea that we have that it's okay, but this is really what Jesus meant. And I think when I talk about that, you'll be hung up on that, and I dealt with that last week. And so please go back and listen to all three, but I'm going to run through refreshing time here. I'm not passing out cupcakes. I mean, a refreshing time, you're reviewing. But slide two, there will be a judgment. It's what we talked about in Matthew 25. And when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all of His angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations of the world, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep and the goats. We talked about that the judgment and what we'll be judged for in this particular judgment in Matthew 25, 35 was, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you washed or visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Matthew 25, 35 and 36. But specifically here, and this is the part I want us to get a hold of, that we discussed and how we treated each other, but what Jesus was talking about specifically was how disciples, and we determined disciples is any believer, any Christian is a disciple. Don't need to go into that again today. But Jesus was judging the believer on how we treated other believers. And we read about that in Matthew 25, 40. "The king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.'" And we went into scriptures on that talked about the least being the disciples and the brothers. And we talked about the brothers that he meant, the disciples. And we spent time on that. Don't want to go back. But trust me that Jesus was speaking to the believer on how we treat each other. And guys, it's not very good sometimes. But the reason that Jesus was going into this, we discussed about a great persecution that was coming upon the church. Well, guys, that great persecution, the last days that you always hear about, oh, Jesus is coming back, the last days are here now. No, the last days started when Jesus rose from the grave. We got to get that. The persecution started when Jesus rose from the grave. And Jesus knew how important it was going to be for brothers and sisters of Christ to take care of each other. And we talked about that. How immediately Stephen was stoned in Acts 7:58. Then how the great persecution arose from Saul, which we find out later was the Apostle Paul. Don't want to go back into all that. But how Saul was ravaging the church, making war on the church, entering houses, dragging people out, and putting them into prison. Saul, later Paul, even confessed in Galatians 6:13, I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. A great persecution. And guys, that persecution still goes on today. And again, Jesus was judging the church on how we treat the brothers and sisters that are hungry. Slide 6, the brothers and sisters that are thirsty and strangers and naked and sick and in prison. So the big question today, and what we're caught up now, and again, that's 2 weeks of sermons. Maybe a lot of you are thinking, man, you did that in 10 minutes. You sure preached a long time last week and the week before. But go back and hear the details. So all brothers and sisters who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, 2 Timothy 3:12 says. So how should we, Oakton Church, the brothers, treat other brothers and sisters in Christ, specifically here at Oakton? You know, if your wife's a believer, how are you treating her, your husband, or your children? And I think the Lord shouted it out to me pretty clear this week. He said, by investing in them. We need to invest in the disciples of Jesus Christ. We need to invest in each other. I need to invest in Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe needs to invest in me. I need to invest in Lynn, and Lynn needs to invest in me. We need to invest in each other. And Webster says invest means to commit. In this case, money, Webster, in order to earn a financial return. He says, too, to make use of a future benefits or advantages, invest your time wisely. And then he says to involve or engage, especially emotionally. And I just say to you today, guys, invest in each other the same way that you would these others. Me and Karen got a little bit of money, and we've invested. And I can't believe the return we've got. And I've been surprised on the return we got on that. But we invested into something and it brought a return. And we need to invest in each other so that we can bring a return in each other. So as we go into Matthew 10, Jesus is encouraging us to invest in the church, and specifically the prophets and specifically the righteous. And so, Norma, I think I'm going to jump slide 10, but verse 40. Matthew 10:40, anyone who receives you receives me. This is Jesus talking. And he's talking to the disciples. So anyone who receives a disciple receives Jesus. We're all believers. We're all disciples today. So anytime we receive a disciple, we receive Jesus. And anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me. If you receive a prophet as one who speaks for God, you'll be given the same reward as a prophet. So now he's talking about investing in prophets. And when you invest in prophets, you'll receive the reward the prophet gets. That's pretty awesome. And guys, I'm just going to jump to it, but when you do a study on this, and you define what prophet means in Matthew 10, a prophet is in this context, is a preacher of the gospel, the one who preaches the good news of Christ's atoning sacrifice on the cross. So that could be Pastor Kent, but you guys are pastors and prophets at times. You go out and preach the words, disciples preach the words, and anytime we invest in that, we're going to get the same return they get. So if I've invested in Jeremiah over here, and I'm invested in him and encouraging him and lifting him up, and he leads somebody to Christ, I'm a part of that reward. Isn't that good? That's pretty cool. Then he goes on to say, and if anyone receives a righteous person because of their righteousness, you'll be given a reward for theirs. And so if I just invest in the righteous person, when they do righteous things, I have a return on that investment. That's pretty cool too, isn't it? No amens on that. So Jesus wants us to invest in his kingdom and his righteousness. Invest in those that take it to the world. Strengthen your brothers and sisters. Encourage them. And you're going to be blessed for it. And then he goes and says, if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. Man, this word is saying that if I just simply take a cup of water to a brother or sister in Christ, I'm going to be rewarded for that investment. Think about that. So when I encourage and build my brother up here in Christ and the things of God, I'm invested in him and all the good that he does and the reward he gets, I'm a part of that. A simple cup of water. He said, those that are thirsty, did you guys not remember Matthew 25? I was thirsty and you gave me a cup of drink. If he's talking about a disciple of Jesus Christ, if he's talking about a child of God, you give him a cup. You've done it to Jesus. Matthew 10 says that you did it for them, you did it for me. You've invested. And you're going to get a return for that. And that isn't why we do it, I hope. I hope we do it because we're excited. We're excited that, man, I got to put into somebody's life. I don't want Audra to feel left out. I noticed that you gave her cup. And so I go over and I invest a cup of water into you today. Yeah, she don't know what I'm talking about. She just got here. No, I'm kidding. I got to hassle her. We're best friends. You know, I'm investing in her by hassling her. Is that biblical? No. All right, I'm convicted. I repent. So to define the righteous here, I'm jumping around a little bit, so I'm trying to bring it back together, that the righteous are those that are completely invested in their own talents, skills, taking their money and assets and resources and abilities, and they're putting it into the body of Christ. That's the definition. So church members should be totally invested in providing, cooperating and encouraging their pastors, their teachers, their worship teams, their office staff, the church leadership, the righteous, all who stand for godliness and proclaim the truth, the disciples. That's who we invest in. And we will be rewarded when we invest in a prophet and a righteous person. Guys, we need to work on this. And I'm going to step on toes a little bit, but it bothers me. And this is going to bother you. No, I don't confess that. But guys, if we're totally investing in Oakton and who Oakton is, then we'd be able to cover our weekly expenses as a church body. See, I hesitate to talk about those things because nobody wants to talk about money. But if we're righteous and we're investing in God and we're investing in the disciples that are at Oakton, then why are we struggling paying our weekly commitments? If you're invested in your pastors and you're invested in your praise team and you're invested in all that we got here in this church and Carthage and our children's church and our youth church, then why we struggle giving to that? Well, pastor, times are hard. Jesus said we'd be persecuted and that times would be hard. But those who invest in his people, in the kingdom of God, they will receive a blessing. But, now let's get back to where we were. And the point that I believe Jesus is saying in Matthew 25, Matthew 10, Matthew 18, Jesus expects his disciples to invest their talents, their skills, their money, their assets, their resources, their abilities into other disciples, the least of these. In our case, it's Oakton. If you're visitors here today, in your case, it's the body of Christ that you attend. The second point I see here is that we will be judged accordingly to how we invest in our brothers and sisters. Matthew 25, 29, last week we read, "For to everyone who has will be given more, and who will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away and cast this worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So Jesus takes this pretty serious, doesn't he? He takes how we treat each other very, very seriously. And I was kidding earlier when I was giving Audra a hard time. But a lot of times we speak hatred that way to each other in this body. Believe me, I know it because I hear about how you guys say things about each other and how you've hurt each other in this body over the years. And I'm just speaking truth today. I've heard how I've said things that have hurt others unintentionally. And we need to be careful. A lot of times we do things in the name of God, but we say it in the name of Satan. So let's jump down to slide 18, ways to invest. Norm, I just skipped a big chunk there. But the ways to invest in the body of Christ, into the disciples, into brothers and sisters of Christ. Acts 2:42. If you guys want to turn there, let's read that. I was going to get, what I skipped was, last week I felt like a lot of people were, what about the lost? What about the lost? And I don't think I need to go over that again because Oakton's very intentional about winning the lost. But Acts chapter 2, verses 22. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowships, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And an awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And I think now I remember why I had that in my notes, but the lost, the church wasn't, last week we talked about the church and the disciples, Paul and Peter, weren't focused on the things that we were talking about today. They were focused on winning the lost. And then once the lost were won, they brought them into the church body. And so if you go back, we spent a lot of time last week, and then on Wednesday nights, we spent a lot of time showing how that when it came to the lost, all that the disciples were focused on was salvation, water baptism, and then baptism in the Holy Spirit. And again, the early church was not focused on feeding the lost. The early church was focused on winning the lost. And then we read that in Acts chapter 2, I believe 37 through 39. And it talks about that when Peter preached his first sermon, and what must we do to be saved? And he says, one, you got to repent. Two, you're going to be, that's being saved, you're going to be water baptized, and then filled with the Holy Spirit. That's all they focused on for the lost. Once they were saved, then they brought them into the body, and they spent the time and effort on. And that's what you see from Acts 2:42 that we're reading now, is the church was birthed from those that were saved. And if you're like me, when I was saved, I had a lot of junk going on in my life, then we needed to invest in each other. And so that's where we are in Acts 2:42. And so again in verse 43, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing their proceeds to all as they had need. Do you guys see what they're doing? They're investing everything into each other. And day by day, they attended the temple together, breaking bread in their homes and receiving the food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Man, when we go out and we bring people to Christ, they come into our body. There's such a move of God in our body. We're so invested in each other that people outside say, now that Oakton church, that's where I want to go. And people come to Oakton day by day because you are so invested in them. Praise God. That's what that's saying. That's what that's saying. You see, devoted means having a strong love or loyalty for someone or something. Did you get that? A strong love, loyalty. Are you loyal? Are you in love with each other today? Loyal means giving or showing firm support or allegiance to a person or an institution. Man, are you sold out? Man, am I sold out for Jeremy Messer? Man, I'll fight for you, brother. I'll die for you. Are we that way for each other? I'm invested. I care, Jeremy. I care, Billy, where your family's at. I'm invested in you. That's what devoted means. Devoted to help any way possible. Any way possible. How can I help you? Maybe that's the way we need to greet people instead of welcome home, like all the churches are stealing and using now. Why wouldn't somebody walk in the door? Could we say, how can I help you? Maybe that's what we need to start saying. How can I minister into your life? How can I invest in you today because Oakton is devoted to you? Getting quiet in here. Do I need my squirt gun? Are we sleeping or thinking or what? So through the scripture, ways we can invest in each other. Now I'm going to run through these quickly. But we've got to be devoted to God first. Devoted to loving God, Matthew 22:30. I think that's 22, Norma. But Matthew 22:37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Man, Pastor Imbar yesterday, he brought it. I've never heard somebody talk about the body, soul, and spirit at a gravesite like he did yesterday. Man, I'm getting gibberish just thinking about it. He even grabbed the dirt off the ground and sprinkled it over the casket. I thought if I did that, that'd offend somebody. Powerful time yesterday. But we give it all to God. Our body, our soul, our spirit, our mind, everything. Two, we're devoted to Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. That's the key. You see, a judgment we haven't talked about today because I believe this is for the believer, but the judgment of the unbeliever, guys, you're not even going to be there because you don't believe. You're going to be separated out already, and it's not God's choice, it's our choice. Because we all have that choice. God's desire is that everyone is saved and comes into a knowledge and understanding of Him. But nobody can go to God except through Jesus, Scripture says. We can't serve two masters. Matthew 6:24 says, you can't be loyal to two masters. But we're going to get into it a little bit later. We're going to talk about no man's later, no man no man's land later. I get excited. I get to rolling. But we're going to talk about that later. And the Lord showed me that people or believers are caught in no man's land because they're not totally sold out to God and they're trying to serve two masters. But we got to be devoted to Jesus, devoted to God, and devoted to God's word and prayer, the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread. And the reason the word and prayer is so important is because the enemy will try to turn our hearts away from Jesus, and the word helps us stay grounded. So we invest in the word. We invest in the word with each other through prayer, through Bible studies, through attending worship. We have a devotion to obedience. And we were talking about Peter the other day, and he's going to go into another critical time in Acts chapter 5. And they told Peter, you shut your mouth and you quit talking about Jesus. And Peter said, I must obey God rather than man. So we got to obey God and Jesus over man, so there's got to be obedience there. Obedience to his word, obedience to Jesus, obedience to God. And there has to be a devotion to allowing the Holy Spirit to move across our lives so that Acts 2:43, many wonders and signs can be done in our lives. And a devotion to giving, that we give our proceeds to the church so that we can say there's no needy person amongst the Oakton body. That's why I talked about what I did earlier, and I didn't like to talk about it because I don't like to say the negative things, but we need to give better than we are. And we need to be devoted to the fellowship, day by day attending the temple together. Do you guys not only realize that day by day they attended the temple, but they did it at 9 in the morning, they did it at 12 noon, and they did it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that they were in the temple as much as possible? Who says we don't need church? It's so biblical to be in the temple. Day by day, we got to be devoted to the temple. And I'm not saying this building, I'm saying the church, and you're the church. We got to be devoted. Devoted to the fellowship. Devoted to breaking bread together in our homes. The Lord really hit me. We simply need to hang out with each other more. And we're trying to do that with care teams and different things. And Norm, if you want to pop up the care teams, the opportunities that you can go to small groups. But there's opportunities on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, worship service at all campuses. On Wednesday nights, a worship service at all campuses. There's Bible studies, things for our children on those days. There's many opportunities to attend the temple day by day with your brother and sister, investing in all and one each other. But devoted to breaking bread together in our homes, hanging out, loving on each other. Man, we spend more time hanging out with ungodly people, and there's nothing wrong with that, but we need to hang out and sharpen iron amongst ourselves. Why 9? So that there can be a unity, people praising God and having favor with all the people. Can you imagine that we're all having favor with each other means total unity? That I can look across this room and know that we're in total unity? And as I walk and look across this room today and I look at each face in here, can I say that we are in total unity as a body? I pray we can. I know we have that opportunity. But again, this is so important because Jesus knew in the last day there was going to be persecution. He knew that the believers were going to be attacked from all sides, and the more invested you were into God and each other, the more you were going to be attacked. And he knew because of this that believers were going to get battered, and some were going to get so torn that they would end up in no man's land. And no man's land, slide 26, that we know it of, was in World War I. No man's land is a disputed ground between the front lines or trenches of two opposing armies. In World War I, there was the Americans and English and all those on one side, and on the other side, there were the Germans and their allies, and in the middle was no man's land, ground that they were fighting for. So when we think about this, the Americans believed in what we were doing, and the Germans believed in what they were doing, and we were fighting, and we couldn't serve two masters. We had to choose which one to serve. And we can see that in that World War I. We see the good and the evil, but people would get caught out there. You know, maybe the Americans would attack, and for some reason I may have gotten knocked out, and I'm laying in the middle of no man's land, and I wake up, and I'm dead no matter which direction I go. If I go back to the American side, they're going to think I'm a spy, and they're just going to shoot me if I don't know the right code, if I don't say the right things, or I don't do the right things. Same way, if I go to the German side and I'm German, I'm going to get shot. I'm dead because I'm in no man's land. And the Lord showed me, and this is what's, he showed it to me more yesterday at that funeral, but there's many believers and non-believers that are stuck in no man's land. Hundreds of people there yesterday. Imbar would look at me, and we just, these people would be speaking to me, and I didn't even know who they were. And they'd be talking to me. They'd stand up, come over, and shake my head. And Pastor Imbar and I were looking at ourselves, and I was like, what's going on here? And he goes, they don't know, or we don't know them, but they know us. Remember the old bus ministry? They remember that White Horse bus ministry. But I saw all that they were going through, and the hurting, and they were sharing, and all that, and the Lord showed me they're stuck in no man's land. Some were believers at one time, some weren't, but they were stuck. And the Lord showed me that most people don't want to be there. But what happens is, they're in no man's land. And they're getting blasted by the enemy, Satan. They can't go any further. They don't want to go any deeper. They're hurting. But when they go to the church, they're being judged and blasted by the church. And so they run from the church because they're trying to find somebody that will invest in them. And you say, well, Pastor, I can't believe you're saying that. Okay, there's a guy yesterday. Got four kids, three different wives. Never married, back up, he never married any one of them. We would think, and what's we thinking now, slug? What are we thinking, really? Oh my, that's a loser. What if he's reaching out to Jesus because he is in no man's land? And he can read on our faces when we look at his life what we feel. The reason I can speak to this is that was a guy that died yesterday, 30 years old, went to hospital on Friday, was dead on Monday. 30 years old. Four kids, three different women. But he received Christ. Thank God, Imbar got to pray with him in his last breath. Give the Lord praise. Well, you know what really got me yesterday? At a funeral, Imbar got a louder clap than what that was right then. When he shared that, everybody in that room could have been thinking the horrible things about this guy, what he did, and the bad things he'd done. His job was a bartender, I think. And we could have been looking at all that. And without even thinking, I said it too loud. And I wasn't being facetious. I thought I was just praying. And I just said, the first will be last and last will be first. And man, people turned and looked at me. I was like, what did I just say? But are we so jealous that we don't want somebody to receive Christ to move ahead in line? I mean, I don't know. I'm babbling now. But my point is, the Lord showed me that people are in no man's land. They don't want to be there. And they're going to the church and they're getting judged. Or if they're not getting judged, they're simply getting the cold shoulder. Because they don't look like us, because they don't act like us, because they don't talk like us. And I pray that that's not Oakton. And I think we do better than most, but I pray that's not Oakton. And I even repented after yesterday because I've been guilty at times on my thinking and my treating of others. And my time lots is just, my gosh, Lord, how many times do I got to invest in them? They should know by now. That's what I repented of. But I've been guilty along with many of you. And the Holy Spirit's saying it simply just needs to stop. So when we're singing, I surrender, we're needing to sing, God, I surrender, to having a mind like Christ, that I'm not going to be critical and judgmental because somebody's not like me. That I'm going to minister to whoever you put in my path. We talked in Matthew 18 that Jesus said, whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Then he went on to say even further, see that you do not despise one of these little ones. And again, he was talking about believers and disciples of Jesus Christ, all the believers. And then we went into John 8:10, neither do I condemn you, but go, and from now on, sin no more. That how we need to speak truth, but we need to speak grace also. And we need to love them like Christ loved them. And then we talked about in Matthew 18 that when a man or a woman, you know, leaves the flock or is caught in no man's land, that we need to leave the 99 and go after them. We talked about in 1 Corinthians, if one of the members suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice. We need to be there for each other in the good, bad, the good times, the bad times, but we need to be with each other. We talked about Jude 22, that and have mercy on those who doubt. In other words, those that are in no man's land, saving others by snatching them out of the fire, to others by showing mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. But Jesus talked through Jude, his half-brother, on the different people that we can save from this no man's land. But I say to you, church, when we go after them, that we can't get caught up in the drama. The Lord, the Holy Spirit really hit me. Half the problem of this world is that we're dramatized. Is that even a word? Dramatized. Everything's got to be a drama. We can't get caught up into that. So when we go, we're going to hear drama. And we can become dramatized. But Galatians says, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. But keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. So when you go into these positions and you're talking to the dramatized, you make sure that you don't get sucked in by them, but that you what help them in their time of need and bring them out. And I think a lot of times we get caught in the drama ourselves. I don't even know how to call altar calls. The Lord just got to deal with you, and I believe the Holy Spirit already is. And if I got to beg you to get out of your seats and come talk to him or to talk to him at all, then you haven't heard what I've had to say. Because this message is for everybody. It's for me. It's for the church. It's for those that are in no man's land. It's for the people here that aren't saved. So what part are you in? Do you need Jesus? Then come, let's pray and get saved. If you're in no man's land, man, we hurt with you. We want to help you. What can we do to help? Come, let's pray. Mm-hmm.